It's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
Not sure who it is, but there's a garlic bomber leaving gorgeous heads of freshly grown garlic on people's cars in the VPR parking lot. So somebody has been harvesting their summer garlic. But I understand it's also going to be soon time to plant garlic, and you've got more info about that.
Yes, so it will be planting time for garlic, but that's usually mid to end of October. Two other onion relatives I'd love to focus on that you can plant now. One is shallots. Now, everyone probably have heard of shallots. If you've done any cooking, especially with French recipes, you've seen shallots in there. These are small little onions that have a very sweet, mild flavor. The French love this. In fact, two of the varieties, the red French red and the gray shallot, are both French varieties that are used a lot in cooking. The red one has the red skin with a little bit of a pinkish colored flesh, and the gray one doesn't really look very pretty, but supposedly has a great flavor. There's also a Dutch variety, which looks like a little round onion, which has a nice white flesh to them. Shallots are great because you plant them the same time as garlic, the same way as garlic, and the same place as garlic. Pretty much that's what we do. And then in the spring they come up, and of course they separate out at the soil line, so you'll know when they're ready to harvest if they've all separated out into individual little bulbs. Then you can pull them out. I always plant a second crop in the early summer for fall. We just harvested our fall crop. So we have shallots year-round, and some of them, like the Dutch ones, can actually last in storage for a year. So it's a pretty cool crop and a nice one to grow if you like a mild onion flavor. The second one is called the walking onion or the Egyptian onion. And this is a really cool crop because it's a perennial, kind of like the asparagus and rhubarb. You plant it in your garden in the spring, these green onion tops come up, and that's how we mostly use them, as a green onion. Eventually, though, those tops form little top sets of bulbs that get so heavy they take the whole stem and drop it over it, and whatever that bulb drops on the ground, it roots, hence the name walking onion. It looks like it moves across your garden. It's a really easy crop to grow, a nice one to have a perennial crop in your garden. Just have to watch out because they can spread and you'll have a huge crop of them in no time.
Ah, okay. Well, we've got questions for you, Charlie. This one from Patty in Waterbury, and she says, Charlie's discussed snake worms before. Do you have any advice on ways to support a garden and lawn that's been invaded? Since I can't eliminate them, how do I save plants, mosses, and forest edge? I'm a little wary of sharing my identity because I don't want to be the neighborhood scapegoat.
Oh. Right. Don't worry, Patty. It's not just because of you. They are around a lot. So as I've mentioned, I think, on the show before, the University of Vermont, Joseph Gores in particular, has done a lot of research on them, and they have web pages available, as well as Cornell University. And snake worms, first thing, of course, you want to do is identify it. So it is called a snake worm or jumping worm for a reason, because it wiggles a lot and jumps up and down a lot, more so than the regular earthworm. You'll also see it has a white band around its body, and it's not symmetrical, so it's going to be on one side or the other side. Those are two signs that you have the snake worms. Of course, also, they eat a lot of organic matter, so if you see a lot of kind of bare areas in the forest around you, that's another sign of snake worms. There's a couple things you can do. You can take a gallon of water, warm it up, and put a third of a cup of yellow mustard seed in it and pour that onto the soil. They don't like the mustard seed, and so they will come to the surface, so you can literally harvest your snake worms. Put them in a plastic bag, keep them out on a driveway for a half hour or so, and that'll pretty much kill them. So that's one thing you can do. In the spring, you can also put clear plastic over your garden, and that will kill some of the cocoons. But it is a tough insect to control, a tough worm to control, so I would check out those websites to find out more.
Okay, this is a question from Grace in South Burlington. Grace writes, when I was a little girl, my father would have huge gardens sprawling with zucchini plants. I've been looking for that type of zucchini plant. I've tried the bush zucchini and I haven't been pleased with it. I also have trouble with the flowers not being pollinated and the young fruits rotting away. I've resorted to pollinating them myself, but I just remember my father's big plants and abundant harvests without him really doing much of anything. My question is, where are those long sprawling zucchini plants?
They're called trambocinos. They're a vining zucchini plant. So they will climb. I grow them up a fence, and they're big, they're long, they have a thin neck with a little bulbous bottom. You can eat them when they're small as a summer squash, or let them mature like a winter squash. Rampicante is another name for them, but you can find them online and sometimes in garden centers too, the seeds for them. And definitely they're worth growing. I love my trombocinos.
So fabulous. I remember those from my childhood too in my dad's gardens. If you have questions, you can find the link to send them to us at vpr.org. Just search for All Things Gardening. And if you'd also like to listen to the podcast, you can do that too, wherever you get podcasts. Thanks so much, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.